Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Ultimate Martial Arts Conference Call. It is my pleasure to introduce your host, Jay Abraham. Here to introduce Jay and set the stage is the president of NAPMA, Rob Colasanti.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rob Colasanti, and I want to welcome you to Jay Abraham's exclusive teleconference series for the martial arts industry. This is truly an unprecedented opportunity to dramatically improve your marketing skills and put your school on the fast track to success beginning now. You folks are obviously extremely serious about growing your school. You're the true champions of business, and I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Now, we're going to get rolling here in just a few moments, but first, for those of you who may not be 100% familiar with Jay Abraham, I wanted to give you just a few seconds of background information to help set the stage. For starters, Mr. Abraham is considered by many to be the number one marketing expert in the world today. Through his seminars, books, audio tapes, and consulting programs, he's worked with businesses in over 400 different industries, including the martial arts. In fact, over 10,000 individual success stories have been attributed to his work, and over the past 30 years, he's added billions of dollars to his clients' collective bottom lines. On this note, his clients include people like Tony Robbins, Brian Tracy, Fran Tarkenton, and Mark Victor Hansen. On one hand, he's consulted with corporate giants like Microsoft, AT&T, IBM, Sears, Texas Instruments, and General Electric. But on the other hand, he's worked with countless small business owners, ranging from dry cleaners and hairdressers to florists and restaurateurs. You are now one of Jay's clients, too, and I'm 100% confident that if you follow his advice, you too will dramatically increase your marketing results, your student count, and your income. Oh, and one other thing. Mr. Abraham normally charges $5,000 an hour or $40,000 per day for consulting. And even at those rates, he's still one of the most sought-after marketers in the country. To this end, I'm extremely delighted that the legendary Jay Abraham will be joining us today, tomorrow, and Wednesday for three consecutive 90-minute classes exclusively focused on martial arts marketing for martial arts professionals. Now, Jay is going to do all the teaching. My job is simple. I'm here to make sure that Jay hits the bullseye and delivers for you the most meaningful, impactful, valuable, and usable material on martial arts marketing that you've ever heard. I'm going to hold Jay's feet to the fire and make sure that in the next 3 days, Jay gives you the tools, strategies, tips, tactics, techniques, and inspiration that each and every one of you needs in order to go out there and kick some major butt with your marketing in 2005 and beyond. Folks, it's time to create total market dominance, prominence, and preeminence the Jay Abraham way. So be sure to take tons of notes. And remember, if you get just one good idea from this entire call series, just one good idea, it could make all the difference in the world for you and pay your tuition into this call series countless times over. So ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure to introduce you to my dear friend and my marketing mentor, the one and only Mr. Jay Abraham.
Rob, that was an extraordinarily and almost an embarrassing laudatory opening. I hope I can live up to it. First of all of you, thank you. I'm flattered, honored, and I take very seriously the opportunity and the responsibility to help transform the way you look at what drives and what should be the sustaining and the key essence of your business life force. I want to start with a simple concept that I hope you will indelibly remember. But before I do, Rob, stay on and around. Rob's job is to be a ruthless advocate for you. I've got a format of what I want to do today. I have a format of what I want to do tomorrow. I have a really killer format of what I want to do on Wednesday. If I deviate, or if I don't get specific, or if Rob thinks of a clarified question that only somebody who's spent their whole life in your field can ask to clarify or amplify, he has my permission to respectfully and continuously interrupt. I just want to do great by you. First thing I want to say, and this is something you should indelibly regrain on your brain, the difference between mediocrity and millions has been really attributed to marketing. And while you may or may not have the desire to make a fortune, you have a moral obligation to do everything in your power to make every hour, every day, every week, every year of your life that you dedicate to your profession as impactful as possible, and impact is directly correlated to the impression you make on the marketplace. There are a lot of people out there whose lives can be vastly improved, health-wise, self-esteem-wise, confidence, just the future, the fate, whether they go the bad way, whether they go the good way, whether they achieve greatness, their character can be molded. But if you can't reach them, or if they don't perceive the impact you can make or the difference you can be in their life and their body and their outcome, they'll never seek you out. Marketing is it. Now, I've got a list. I'm going to start through it. Rob, you are on notice that your job, and I'm just opening that little fizz, is a bottle of sparkling water.
Jay, if I have to, I'm going to wrestle you down to the mat and pick your brain. But I know I've heard you for 15 years. You're the best in the business, and I'm really looking forward to this.
Okay, so let's start with a fundamental. What in the world is marketing? In its purest sense, it is the process of first and foremost identifying the most viable, qualified, and desirable segment of a marketplace that you could possibly help. And it's all about contribution. Number two, it's about being able to reach them, to educate them to, number one, a problem that they experience that they may never have verbalized, or a desired outcome they want that they may never have realized, and to show them what life would be like once either the problem is solved or the opportunity is achieved. And finally, it is the ability to demonstrate and convey to them that you alone understand, respect, and can deliver the result thereafter in a superior way than perhaps any other alternative out there. In essence, the ability to demonstrate that you are, in fact, the only viable solution because you understand them and you empathize with them better than anybody else. In its purest sense, marketing is a form of very, very effective education. But the kind of marketing that I want all of you to master and to convert to from today forward is direct response marketing. Why? Because a lot of you unintentionally are guilty of either full institutional type advertising or modified, meaning it's not compelling people to take and make the most immediate, the most direct, the most powerful response. Everything you do for your school, whether it be advertising, whether it be free boxes that you put out in other people's stores, whether it be ValPacks, should be designed to produce the maximum immediate response possible. Why do you want direct response advertising? Simple foundation. What do you think is easier? You soliciting somebody else or lots of people each and every day soliciting you? Direct response advertising and marketing is communication that provokes the prospect to see and then want to seize the benefit, the result, the outcome so passionately that he or she seeks you out. They, in essence, solicit you. That kind of person is many times more qualified than any other. Direct response advertising or marketing is based on a fundamental understanding that you are not selling a thing, you are selling a result. You are selling an improvement. You are selling a benefit. You are selling an outcome. You are selling a transformation. And your ability to understand and articulate or express that in whatever marketing forms, including your telephone or your in-person sales presentation, will have all to do with whether your marketing is mediocre or whether it's masterful. Now, the next point, I'm going to get into construction in a little while. Right now, I want to get into foundation.
Jay, before we move on, can I ask you to give us some specific examples of direct response marketing?
Sure. First of all, direct response marketing starts with a headline or its equivalent, no matter what form it takes, an ad, a Valpak, a sales letter, a telephone, a box with some phrase on it, or a card, a sign outside your studio. It all starts with the equivalent of the headline. The headline is the ad for the ad. It has 80 to 90% to do with the impact. The headline needs to denominate the biggest outcome, benefit, advantage you can deliver that is self-desired or self-serving. For example, let's say, improve your confidence 5 times in the next 3 weeks just by taking 3 simple classes. I mean, that's just a simple approach. Or how to outwit anyone that ever confronts you, or whatever it is. I mean, just figure out what the scenario is. And the important thing about direct response advertising is you can't advertise or market until you first know what the foundational issues of most recurring concern are to your audience, and you realize they are going to be different for different segments. There are going to be certain ones that are more universal than others. But by being able to clearly understand, Rob, what the different ones are, and by being able to market to as many as possible in a descending order, you're going to be many, many times more effective. And I was talking about headlines, and I've got some examples of some headlines that I can easily introduce in a few minutes. I'm looking for them just for a minute.
So a flyer, that's direct response advertising. A newspaper ad, direct response advertising.
Everything is direct response. I don't care if you have a sign outside your studio. If it says classes forming, what's the benefit? But if you say learn how to be, you know, twice as flexible in one simple introductory class, that's sort of interesting, isn't it? Or if you said, learn how to improve your confidence, you know, by double in just 1 week, absolutely free, that's a lot better appeal, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So I'll give you real quickly some of the keys right here to headlines. And I've got like 35, but I'll go through a couple of them really quickly, and then we'll illustrate them later in either today or tomorrow's call, okay? Rob?
Yes, sir.
Sounds I would
good.
Take notes, but it will be recorded.
Okay.
The first is you measure the size of the claim or the result. You quantify it. You know, one of the greatest headlines ever in the selling approach was, you know, a technique for increasing your close rate 75%. And that was something anyone who was involved in selling wanted to know, and probably everybody on this call would like to know, wouldn't you? The next is to measure the speed of the claim. You know, in 2 sessions or lessons or classes, you can become twice as effective at blank. And again, there's all so many different purposes. And Rob, you might tell me what the 5 or 6 best or most frequently appealed to issues, problems, benefits, or desires are. That would be very useful so I can incorporate them in here.
Okay.
What do you think they are?
Well, I think the one is confidence.
Okay.
Most of the time when people come into a martial arts school, ultimately what they want is confidence. Another one is fitness and weight loss. Another one is self-defense. Another one is character development, especially in the case of children. Another one is just going to be, getting in better shape. A lot of people want to meet people, social. Some people want to learn how to fight. They want to learn how to be...
And I'm going to get into something very important that will probably double, triple, quadruple your impact first, your success second, and your income third, which is testing. And I'm going to teach you all about it and give you some exercises to try between this call or tomorrow's call and the third one, which will show massive results instantaneously. But let's take those 4. So compare the claim. In other words, have your child's character be improved 6 different ways in just 1 week, guaranteed, absolutely free. That's sort of interesting, isn't it, Rob?
Mm-hmm, it is.
I'm just giving you some hypothetical ones. The next is to metaphorize the claim. Those of you who have never studied the inner workings of the mind, should know that the easiest way to impact, compel, and connect with a prospective parent or student is through metaphors, similes, illustrative examples of other experiences they've had in their life which are like or similar. Greatest single example I can give you is the Bible. The Bible made all its impact through parables, which are examples, metaphors, stories. You want to use that too. When I say metaphor, it's like, here's an ad. Melts away ugly fat in just 30 days. The metaphor is melts because you can understand that, and it's much more dramatic. Next one is sensitize the claim by making the prospect feel, touch, see, or hear it. You know, in just 6 weeks, you know, see your body improve, your confidence double, and your impact in the marketplace or the world or with your in your business transform. I'm just giving you some examples here, Rob, and I'll go on and I'll actually go through the whole list later because I need to make a point right from the get-go because everyone on here is here for a reason, but I'm not sure they know what it is, and I'd like to really answer the question you haven't asked yet. May I?
Yes.
Okay. Why marketing? Why is marketing so important? Why is it this great vehicle? And I'll tell you why. It is the ultimate lever you have available, number one, in your business, and number two, in your life's work. From a business standpoint, it costs you the same fixed time, effort, risk, expense, opportunity cost to send out an ad, send out a ValPak, send out a letter, put up a sign, do a demonstration, whether that activity pulls X response, 2X response, 10X response. And if that's a prospect, a lead, a preview or introductory student, it costs you the same to attract that, whether you close 1 out of 4, 1 out of 3, 1 out of 2, the odds are very low you'll close 100%. It costs you the same effort, time, opportunity cost to close them, whether they take you up on an introductory class and never go forward, take you up on an introductory class and then go to a black belt, take you up on an introductory, go to a black belt, then go on to another one. It costs you the same whether they become a single student or whether they bring 3 or 4 or 5 more referral converting students each and every 6 months forever. And all of those differences can be easily achieved by understanding and commanding the power of superior marketing. Does that make sense, Rob?
Perfectly good sense.
Now, on the personal side, if you want to impact more people, if you want to move more lives, if you want to transform more youthful characters, if you want to make a greater impact on the world, if you want to see the body and the purpose of your daily, weekly life's work have the maximum effect, believe it or not, marketing is the way to do it. When I set out in the world to become a meaningful marketing contributor, it was because I struggled and hurt seeing so many people work so hard at their businesses who were deserving, trying to make such an impact in their market, and realizing and accepting such a feeble, underperforming outcome, not because they wanted to, but because nobody had ever demonstrated or taught them how to do better. And I knew that quality people who had purpose, you know, a sense of contribution and a vision could make such a greater difference if they had the power of the marketing driving it. So I set out as my life goal to never let anybody accept a fraction of what their effort could do again. Not to make them rich, although the byproduct of impacting more people, demonstrating more people more clearly and more powerfully and more dimensionally what kind of a difference you can make in their life is that more people are going to seek you out, more are going to close, more are going to stay and refer people. And in the process, you are going to make more money. And if you don't like that, you can always use the money for, you know, furtherment of your life's purpose. You can donate it to foundations, start a charity, whatever. But right now, if you're going to get up in the morning, if you're going to stay at that, at that profession the rest of your life, full or part-time, you owe it to yourself, but more so you owe it to the marketplace to make the biggest difference you can and make the most impact you can. And if you know that if you have somebody that you work with for life or for a long period, their character, their body, their confidence, their esteem, their impact in their own community, their success as a parent, their success as a contributor to society, their happiness, their economic success, their parental success will be so massively impacted, and with it, you're leveraging the world. You got to use marketing. It's the only outcome. Now, before I go on, Rob, if I've been too abstract, take me to task.
No, I think you're right on the money. In summary, the reason that you want to market is so you can get more new students in that school, so you can increase the quality of your own living as well as impact the lives of the people in your community. And I think in a nutshell, that's what you just said.
Yeah, it's the ultimate lever. And more importantly, sort of like if I was in a fight and I don't know anything about martial arts, and I'm not a wimp, but I'm certainly not a skilled combative person, if somebody came up to me and tried to attack me, I would have no leverage at all. I either put up my arms or I try to feebly, flailingly hit him, or I'd probably turn and run. That's not big leverage, is it, Rob?
Not much.
The greatest explanation, and I'm not trying to use any specific kind of martial arts, but one time I helped a very prominent company in the jiu-jitsu, and I liked the fact that it used the leverage of the opponent's body. You've got incredible leverage with everything you do, but no one's ever demonstrated to you. And even the people, quite respectfully, maybe they're on this call, who do marketing and practice or school management for you, they probably don't fully understand the leverage. In your martial arts school and in your activity, you probably have as many as 30 meaningful and critical impact points you can improve upon. Let me walk through you so you can get your mind blown real quickly. They are how you target prospects. They are the message and the means that you use to reach the prospects. They are what you do when they seek you out. They are how you close them. They are how you program them. They are how you sustain and perpetuate them. You are how you expand their reach, meaning friends, family, referrals. They are how you use the leverage in your community, meaning endorsers, joint ventures, media, the community. They are how you use your team. They are how you use past students and parents who have gone through the process and no longer are there. That's pretty exciting, isn't it, Rob?
Very exciting. I'm looking forward to hearing you giving us some step-by-step on how to achieve some of those things you just mentioned.
I'm going to get into it very soon, but I need to set the foundation, just like probably most of the school owners, the instructors, and the professionals here need to set at least a basic foundation or bedrock upon which they build the fundamentals of whatever the specialty that they teach is for their students, right?
Correct.
Okay. So let's start by talking about how to get higher quality marketing, create better results. First of all, we did a little interviewing with 30 or 40 of your higher performing school owners. It was very clarifying, but I'm going to give you, and I sent out for grounding, but I don't know how many of you might have done it, but I wanted to build on it. But I'm going to start with a couple of beliefs. The biggest fallacy in all business, and I think a really big fallacy in the martial arts business, is what I will call either episodic or single factor marketing is enough to sustain you. And I want to break that misconception right now. The way to greatness in anything is to use the power of geometry to your maximum advantage. And I'm sure in martial arts, and again, I'm not skilled at it, but there are lots of different moves because one is designed to either cripple, the other is designed to knock down, the other is inside to, I mean, and through a cumulative effect, you totally decimate and vanquish your opponent, don't you, Rob?
Absolutely.
Well, that's the whole cumulative effect that you're trying to achieve in marketing. And I want to use a military term. It's called force multiplier effect. Do you know what that is, Rob?
I do. In fact, the last editorial I wrote in the March issue of our magazine has using force multipliers to your advantage as my column.
Well, we're going to get in a minute into the difference between tactics and strategy, but most martial arts schools are very tactical in the way they go about building their business or their school, attracting prospects, converting them, and sustaining them. I want to start the military. A well-strategized military understands that there are a lot of different compound and cumulative ways to penetrate a market. And you'll see they'll go in and they'll have advanced reconnaissance. They will have aerial attack. They'll attack by sea. They'll deploy their ground forces. They'll hit a different, functions, a frontal attack, a side attack. They'll have infantry. And they know that different approaches are going to penetrate, are going to negate different aspects of the opponent, but they don't really know which one is ultimately going to deliver, the crushing final blow, and they don't care. All they care about is the composite effect, totally and completely, basically annihilates their opponent. Your job as a martial arts school marketer is to bring to bear the greatest leverage you can, and that comes by understanding the composite. Now, let me start by reviewing very quickly a foundation to everything I teach anybody in business. And it's very simple. I'm sure you understand it intellectually, but I doubt from what I've observed you do much with it transactionally. I don't care what business you're in, but relative to the martial arts business, there's only three ways to grow your business, and three ways only. The first is you get more prospects and convert them to more students. The second is you get them to spend more money with you. The third is you get them to buy more often, come back longer, buy more things. Translated to your parlance, you get more leads coming in, you convert them better, you convert them to higher units of sale, you constantly upgrade them to larger and bigger packages. You get them coming back for as long, if not forever, and you get them generating more additional ancillary income, which comes from most of the time either introducing you to other people through referrals, word of mouth, other organizations you can basically access, do joint ventures with. In a nutshell, your goal has got to be, now I'm going to talk about strategy versus tactics, Rob, all right?
Okay.
You guys understand, I'm going to use your own, though, I'm going to be like jujitsu. I'm going to use the force of your own beliefs, not against you, but for you. In martial arts, I would suspect, Rob, and you can answer, it's very strategic, isn't it? I don't care what form that you teach, there's a master strategy to it. The strategy is based on one ongoing ultimate outcome. That outcome is achieved by a sequence of preferably progressive moves, but sometimes you're probably caught in a situation where you've got to default to certain preemptive moves that just, that nullify or disengage the opponent. But there's a big driving strategy behind everything you're doing, right?
Strategy is the basis of martial arts, and everything you do is planned and trained for that moment when you have to use it.
Well, surprise, surprise. Strategy is the basis of all marketing, or should be too. But for most small businesses and for most of the martial arts schools I've looked at, they don't get it. Strategy means you've got one overriding, big, driving game plan that is permanently directing every activity you do, and you don't do anything else, no action, no activity, no tactic, unless it's designed to advance, enhance, fortify, improve, and achieve that overriding long-term goal. Now, obviously, the long-term goal of every martial arts school is, or probably should be, and it probably is, and maybe they've never verbalized it, is number one, we're going to identify the best possible sources of the most qualified prospects possible. Number two, we're going to appeal to them and reach and penetrate them with the most compelling messages we can. Why messages? Because everyone doesn't respond to the same stimulus. That's why you got people there, some for health, some for confidence, some for self-defense, some for shape, some for networking or meeting or socializing, right, Rob?
Absolutely.
So your goal strategically, first of all, what your goal isn't, is to never again allow yourself to engage in anything that is tactical. Tactical is a static activity. Static means it doesn't get you anywhere. Most people and a lot of school owners do what I call static tactical reactive marketing, which is anything they can do to help pay the overhead this week. It is not strategic. It is not integrated. It is not masterfully orchestrated and managed. Unless you manage strategically your marketing, you are going to receive and accept a fraction of the long-term outcome. Why do I say long-term? Because there are three components to everything you do. Like I said, three ways to grow a business. The first component is what you bring in. You've got to constantly sustain a new flow of fresh new prospects. Number two is you've got to convert them to the first step. Number three, you've got to nurture, nourish, and sustain what I call the back end, which is the renewal, the conservation, the continuation, retention, and more importantly, the spin-offs, the referral, the other ancillary activities. You do that with a big vision strategy in mind. Now, you understand there are three ways to grow a business, but I don't think you probably realize that within those three ways, there are 10 or 20 key elements that you can do to drive and sustain them. Most everybody I talked to had what I call a default tendency to pick one activity that they were going to do instead of multiple ones, and that activity was the driving force to their business. And it could have been direct mail. It could have been free. What do you call the boxes where you drop the cards in them, Rob?
Yeah, lead boxes.
Lead boxes. It could have been community activities. It could have been PR. It could have been ValPak. It was rarely multiple ones. Now I'm going to give you a mind boggle. I talked about the three ways to grow a business, and I don't want to have time right now to do the exercise, but it is in the advanced material that you got. Most people spend all their time working on bringing more leads in and converting more people to students. They spend very little of their time improving and working on two other things: the size of the sale, the frequency or longevity of the buying relationship with the student, how long and how much they spend. When in fact, those two areas probably worked on can go a longer way to doubling, tripling, quadrupling, and quintupling, not just your income, but your success, because you've already spent the time and the money to bring the prospect in. You've already spent the time and the money to convert part of them. If you could convert more, if you could get larger units of sale, if you could get them coming longer, the cost to you is nothing. The impact on you is everything. It could double the size of your student body. It could triple or quintuple the number of referrals. It could 10 times increase your income, and that income could then again be reinvested in more frontal marketing, etc. I'm going to get into analyzing the mechanics, but Rob, if I go too fast or too abstract, you know your job.
Well, can you jump back for a second and talk to us specifically about strategy and marketing? In other words, if I'm a program director or a chief instructor or a karate school owner and I'm sitting there at my school taking notes right now, what is an example of a strategy that I could utilize in my school to help me get new leads into that school?
Well, let's first of all talk about leads. Most people's strategy is a historic one that's based on emulating, modeling, following the lead of somebody else they've seen or an industry organization. Right, Rob?
Correct.
My idea of a strategy is I'll give you the maximum strategy that I would wish for each and every one of you. The first one is my goal strategically is to bring the most quantity of qualified people in the highest and most impactful way that's going to cost me the least, but be the highest ongoing yielding forever. That means my strategy's got to be not just to bring them in, but to have a very sophisticated way of converting them, of programming them from the very beginning that this is a long-term lifetime or at least many-year activity if it makes sense to them, and that we are going to grow with them and their family, and that we are going to have in place the ongoing programming to manage, sustain, and multiply their experience and also our and their outcome. And the only way we can do that is to formulate very sophisticated and powerful marketing, which is multifaceted. Now, since marketing can mean the difference, oh, by the way, I didn't say this earlier, the difference between one approach and the other, the right approach to lead generating, the right approach to converting leads, the right approach to programming those people to be ongoing and not just an introductory program that doesn't convert, the right approach to programming them to refer people in the right way, the right approach to wanting them to upgrade to black belt and then beyond, the right approach to having them constantly bring either their friends or their children's playmates and friends in. The difference between that strategically and a tactical one can be, each one can be as much as 21 times. And this is where it gets really interesting. I studied the geometry of business growth. We talked about the three ways to grow business, Rob. If all you did was improve your ability to attract and convert prospects to first-time students by a mere 10%, if all you did was improve and perfect your ability to get them to spend more money with you, not by double or triple, but by a mere 10%, if all you did was get them to come back more often by 10%, like 10% more often, that means if half the people drop down and you got 5% more to stay longer, the impact that would make to your income, and let's start with income because income is the substance that lets you do worthy work and reach more of the market, would increase 33%. 10% increase in three areas will be a 33% increase in your results. If you got serious and you doubled your effectiveness in the first category and you increased by half your ability to upgrade the size of the sale and you increased by half the extension of revenue you got from the average student, the impact that would make geometrically would be about 600%, Rob. That means if your business right now were $200,000, it could actually loft you easier, safer, and more instantaneously. And it's not going to happen, obviously, in days, but over a year or two, to the $900,000 mark. And if that sounds unbelievable, you are welcome to study my track record. I have more businesses who doubled, tripled, quadrupled, and 10 times their size and multiplied bigger than that their income in 12, 15, 18 months by following that simple philosophy I just gave you. But I would like to add to that now, as long as you tell me it made sense what I just said.
It did, but I'm going to hold your feet to the fire on the steps in the strategy. For instance, you have packed seminar rooms at $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $25,000 a ticket. There had to be a mastermind strategy behind that. I look at that as being the same as if you're trying to fill a martial arts school with students. What are some of the steps that one would take strategy-wise to achieve that goal?
Well, you got to realize two things. Number one, you're going to get a lot of prospects. Number two, if you don't get a lot of prospects, what that probably means is, I'm going to say your marketing sucks, but your marketing isn't reaching out broad enough. You're going to get a lot of prospects. Those prospects are going to be at different points on what I'll call the motivation slash commitment determination quotient. You've got to basically realize that when you bring them in, you've got to be able to engage them, and it's going to be a successive process. For everybody you convert now, you might be able to convert twice or thrice as many if you expand the effectiveness of your marketing over a 2 or 3 month period. Number two, the more they experience it, the more hooked they're going to be on it. And just because you have an industry norm that says we're going to bring them for one free lesson or this, you need to test lots of different alternatives. Number four, the way you reach them is very probably not the most impactful. In all honesty, if I had to choose one, and I would never choose one because our strategies are always based on reaching the market from multiple points of impact. We have a philosophy, Rob, called the Power Parthenon of Geometric Business Growth. I did include a very easy to grasp illustration of that in with the grounding package all of you got. You may or may not have looked at it, but the simple concept is most businesses build their entire revenue stream, their entire success, their entire fate on one and one only income stream or revenue source. And even though that might make them a living and produce adequate enough revenue and success for them, it's a fraction of what you could get if you expanded vastly the number of ways you reached, penetrated, impacted the market. It goes back to that issue that I explained about 10 minutes ago, the force multiplier effect. All the strategies I build for myself, the way I get 500, 1,000 people to a $5,000 seminar, the way that we sell $5,000 tape sets, the way I've grown all the clients, is to, first of all, go after the market from many different points of impact at the same time, make each of those points of impact a profit center, meaning they've got to justify their existence, understand that different people are going to respond to different hot buttons or focal points, so reach them from different ones, then progressively re-communicate with them in many forms, reaching them from different points of impact. Some of them will send them a booklet that's a short course in what I'm doing. Some of them will send them testimonials. Some of them will give them a questionnaire. Some of them will give them a try this test, something they can do instantly to validate before they ever reach us. A lot of them will give endorsers, people they respect in the community. But it's not one, it's a sequence. It is a bunch of different powerful moves and maneuvers coming together continuously and being controlled by me to reach the maximum quantity in the maximum impact over a long period of time, Rob. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
It's becoming very clear, Jay. So if I've got 1,000 kids out there in my community by the name of Johnny Jones, and I hired you, the world's greatest marketing expert, to come to my school and get those 10,000 kids involved in my school, what you're saying is that you're going to send out a whole bunch of different approaches, not just one episodically, but a whole bunch of approaches.
That's right. I'm not going to be episodic, intermittent. But first thing I would do, let's take that as an example, and I've got a whole list here of things that can be done that I'd like to go through and just review with them. But the point I want to make is what's really interesting. You and I interviewed, let's call it 20 schools. Of the 20 schools we interviewed, we probably had 8 to 15 totally different ways that those schools focus on building students for themselves, right?
Everybody does it different, Jay.
But the point is, if I were doing it, I would take the best 5 to 8 and combine them together, because the combined effect, first and foremost, is going to make me invincible. It's going to reach the same people from 5 or 8 different points, and it's almost like what you teach. If I have one, and my left hand is raised and it's flat and open, one, whatever you call when you cross down and impact an opponent, that may or may not be enough to knock them down or really impact them. But if I hit them from the left, from the right, kicked them, the combination is going to decimate them, right?
Absolutely.
What I need everybody on this first call to realize is that what you teach is what you have to really apply to marketing. And you guys have a greater advantage than almost anybody I would ever teach once we get it really clearly installed, because it's exactly what you teach. It's strategic. It's multiple moves in combination. We don't care which move serves the point. You want them all to work. You got to have some special ones for special situations. It's a long-term process. You got to be disciplined, you got to keep improving, and you want to try to find better and more powerful ways to do it. That's pretty simple, isn't it, Rob?
Yes, it sounds very simple. Now we just got to get people to do it.
So let's go back. I'm going to go through a list of about 30 specifics so you guys can take notes. But let me go to let's say you said, Jay, we want to reach, there's 1,000 students in our community, you want to reach them. And I'd say, well, how are most people doing it? And you'd say, well, they either do ValPak to the neighborhood, or they do display ads in the daily or in the community newspaper, or they try to do community outreach, or what else would they do normally, Rob? That's probably it, isn't it? Or they'll do boxes
yellow pages
in stores, right?
Yeah, they put lead boxes in stores. They're doing yellow pages. They're handing out VIP passes, running newspaper ads.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I would do. I would say, well, let's look at one thing first. I got to start with a concept that I was going to introduce later, but I got to introduce it early. I don't think many, I'm certain some of you, and I think there's probably some quality people teaching it in school and practice management, but I don't think most of you understand the lifetime value and the financial dynamics of a student. Because if you did, you would instantly, you'd be more eager to do what I'm talking about than even I am for you. What that means is knowing always what a lead is worth, what a first-time student is worth, an introductory one, what a black belt program, what a blank, you know, whatever the next advanced one is, not just in direct revenue, not just in revenue that comes in at the point of purchase, but in ongoing income streams for life. Now, let me explain. When I look at any business I'm going to help, I don't say, okay, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead, let's go strategically go after them. I say, let's look at what different forms of revenue or of marketing are worth. For example, if you say you go to newspapers and you run an ad and the ad costs, let's say, $300, and that ad produces five leads because it's not pulling very well, you could say that's a waste. I would say, okay, that means the leads are worth $60 a piece. How many of those leads will you convert? You will say, well, I convert half, right, Rob?
Half is about average, Jay.
I thought, okay, so you're converting, what did I say you get? Five, let's say you get six leads, and they're worth $50 a piece. It's easier. So you're getting three people to convert for an introductory program. How much is an introductory program?
Usually about $19.95 to just come in and try the lessons, but then when they sign up, you're looking at well over a grand.
Okay, so let's say the average program is $800, okay? If you got three of those people for $800, three into eight is $2,400, right?
Yep.
You spent $300. You probably got those people to $2,400 in what, a month, two?
It's probably a lot less than that, Jay.
2 weeks? A day?
I would say probably within the first week they come to the school.
Now, do you think any of the people on this call understand passive investing, like stock investing or real estate investing?
I don't know.
Well, in real estate investing or stock investing, if you invested $100, you'd be happy if you got a 15%, 20% yield would be very good, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That means getting, if you invested $100 and got a 20% yield, you get $20 at the end of a year. That's an annual return. If you guys can invest $300, and if you got credit, you're not even paying the bill till probably the end of the month or the month thereafter, right? And you got back $2,400 in a matter of days, that's a pretty good ROI. But most people get fixated on how few leads come in, right?
Correct.
Now, that doesn't even count how many people will upgrade to a black belt or a superior program, and that doesn't count the residual value they are worth to you in referrals, word of mouth, and other introductions to individuals and organizations. Point I'm making is until and unless you can appreciate, understand, and quantify or measure, analyze, and conclude, worst case, not best, what different categories of leads and students are worth to you, you don't have a clue how much you can invest because it's not spending. It is investment, Rob. It is investment that comes back to you many times over. But once you know that every time you invest, not spend, in my case of the poor pulling ad, $300, and you get back three sales of $800 worth $24, unless you were crazy, which a lot of people probably unintentionally are because they don't see this, you could reinvest over and over and over and over again each and every day or week until it stops breaking even. And even when it breaks even, all things being equal, if you can afford it, it's still worth it because some of those three people who spent $2,400 together are probably going to go to the next level, and they're going to be black belt programs, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely. And then beyond that, Master's Club, leadership programs, the sky's the limit.
So in answer to your question, before I go into any market and serve any client, I ask them to look at every form of marketing, every form of lead generating, and look at, number one, what it costs, number two, how it converts, number three, how many levels of conversion they get, number four, what additional offshoots, ancillary, bonus, windfall revenue comes. Then we put that all together and we back up to realize what is called an allowable cost. Let me give you a simple concept. If you told me that every time you run an ad costs you X, it only brought in X dollars in first-time sales, I would say to you, you should run that all day long as it didn't lose any money, because if you spend three and you only brought in three, but you knew that one out of every two or three of those people were going to go on to 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000, you know, it's like it's money in the bank 3 months, 6 months, 9 months later, not counting the referrals, and that becomes a function of a strategic referral program, which I'll teach in a little while, but back at the ranch. So the first thing I try to do is look at every form of marketing available. I try to figure out very scientifically what it is worth in first time, in second, third, long-term levels of upgrade revenue. Then I try to very systematically go and pick out first and foremost the highest and best yielding activities. I would think, but I don't know this, that martial arts science has you using the highest and best impactful moves first and foremost, doesn't it?
Of course, that goes without saying.
Well, it doesn't, because if that's the mindset that a school owner uses, doesn't it make equal sense that instead of going to the least and worst yielding activity, you should first find the highest and best and put your effort, your time, and your money there?
I couldn't agree with you more.
So, okay, so you're bringing me into this hypothetical. By the way, we got three calls to get real analytical. You challenged me, and I want to stimulate some mind here, okay? So you brought me in, and you said, Jay, let's look at how we're going to reach these 1,000 students. Now, the illogical, but traditional, conventional thinking martial arts school owner would probably say, well, I guess I'm going to do ValPak, or I guess I'm going to do boxes, or I guess I'm going to do display ads, wouldn't they?
Most people would do that. That's the easy way out.
I would take a deep breath and say, wait, let's do nothing first. Let's identify and figure out where they are the most reachable, who's already got their trust, who's already got their respect. So the first thing I would do is look within your school. I'm presuming you're an operating school and you have active students and you have inactive students, right?
Correct.
Well, the first thing I would do is I would say the easiest, the fastest, the most lucrative way to grow more students is not to go forward, but to go backward. Let's look at let's look at two categories that you've probably never maximized, and you've already sunk the time and the effort and the cost in it. It's old, once active, but now inactive students, and it's old, unconverted leads that you never sold. If I respond to you about my child and you don't sell me for one of two reasons, either your message or the message of the person that you entrusted the sales effort to, your team member, didn't resonate, or I wasn't certain, confident, or ready to do it. There's a third one, that is that I had a better choice, but usually you lose a sale to yourself, not to anything else, if that makes sense.
The key point here, Jay, is, and a light bulb just went off, I think you're saying is before you spend more money trying to generate new leads, why not utilize the ones you've already paid for that no one's done anything with?
There's a philosophy that I believe in, and it's going to be a foundation of whatever we talk about for the next 2 days, and it's called optimization. Optimization, everyone on this call, is very simple, and it's probably, again, it's inherent. If not explicit, it's certainly implicit, meaning it's either you verbalize it in your teaching or you really have it foundational in your science to martial arts, and that is you want to get the highest and best use, outcome, result, for the minimum time, effort, and expense, and risk, right?
Absolutely.
Same in marketing, guys, girls, same in marketing. So what we want to do before we go, you know, hell bent on going outside and throwing good money after bad on things that may be marginal, we want to take a deep breath and look at what's already right under our nose, the acres of diamonds, and we want to figure out how to get a lot more out of it. And I look at three things, Rob. I look at what's called critical mass and velocity in motion. And that may sound a little confusing, but it means nothing more than the activities going on right now. In other words, if you did nothing else, if Jay Abraham wasn't in your life, you got ads that are running right now or boxes that are out or community activities you're doing, and they're generating attendance, prospects, contact either people that are scheduling previews, appointments, sessions. You're getting calls. You're getting response. You're getting people visiting. You got students that have other other contacts, other classmates, friends in their area. And the question is, are you maximizing what's going on right now? Because it costs you nothing to be more powerful, more effective, more profitable with what either you've got going on right now and what you've had going on in the past, but you've let slip through your fingers. So I always concentrate on that first because it frees up the capital to do other more powerful long-term things. Does that make sense, Rob?
It does, but how specifically do I mine new students out of my pre-existing student base?
Three ways. First of all, the easiest, the most lucrative, the most powerful, the most profitable activity anybody in any business can ever do is generate referrals. Don't you agree?
I do indeed.
If we had everybody open on this call, we will on the third call, and I interviewed all of them and asked them to tell me how much of their current student body and ongoing business prospects come from referrals or word of mouth, it should be 20 to as much as 100%, wouldn't you think?
Yes.
And then I would ask them to calculate what that was worth, and what did you tell me? The average school does $300,000 if it's full-time?
Yeah, that's about right. It's all over the ice, Jay.
Yeah, but let's say $300,000. So 20% is $60,000, 100% is $300,000. Then I would ask them a very embarrassing question. How many of you have in place on a continuous ongoing basis where you and every one of your team members constantly addresses it, a formalized, systematized, strategic referral generating process that you do constantly? And when I ask that, almost nobody has even one.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally you'll have a sophisticated small business, a school in your case, that has one. Then I'll say, cool, that's great. How many have two? And most people, you know, they fall by the wayside. I'll say, how many have three? Most of them, you know, aren't even existent. Well, we studied referral generating systems and strategies, and we found 93 unduplicated ways that you can generate referrals on a continuous or on a cyclical manner, meaning certain events, certain times of the year, certain events, certain things happening lend themselves to a certain kind of referral generating program. But when you realize that most people in business, and I think most school owners are guilty of this, they spend all their time, all their money, all their effort in external marketing, ads, boxes, community activities, when in fact the easiest, the fastest, the most lucrative people they can possibly attract are referral generating, because number one, they're going to sign up the fastest, they're going to stay the longest, they are going to spend the most, they are going to hang out with more high quality people, they're going to be the most desirable because they're going to be quality people you can enjoy. They are going to be the easiest to sell and the most lucrative, and yet most people don't have multiple. They don't even mostly have one referral generating system. So the first thing I would do is put in place multiple referral generating systems.
Jay, can I challenge you to give our audience today 2, 3, 4, 5 specific referral generating systems that you know will work?
Yeah, you absolutely can. And,
okay.
And I made some notes, so let me go find them very quickly, okay? Hold on one.
And I just want to say
well, the first one that I would do, and this is going to be ballsy, and it takes a great level of respect, not for yourself, but for the real impact and contribution your martial arts activity has on the individual, on the student, and on the community. Until and unless you revere, you know, totally the difference you make in somebody's life, in their character, in their body, in their confidence, in their self-esteem, in their values as a human being, you can't do what I'm going to tell you. But the best way to do it is to start by making referral generation a condition of becoming a student. Now, that's going to be a shocking concept, but let me illustrate it, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
I am ready.
So if when I came into your studio or your school, I said, you know, I went and we talked about the benefits, the problems, the goals you were after. Then I said, our school is very unique, Mr. Calasante. We are a referral-only organization. We want a certain quality and caliber of person who really appreciates, and the parents who appreciate what we're trying to do, whether it be, you know, improve and dimensionalize the character of their child, work on their body and their skill sets, build their character. And we know that in your life, you have a lot, you and your child, if it's, you know, if it's a parent, and it'd be you if you're the adult, you have a lot of other people in your family, in your neighborhood, in your community, at work, and in your children's lives that struggle with the same issues, and that you really have a desire and really probably a need and a hopefulness and actually even a responsibility to help them if you could. So what we say to everybody that we accept and teach and work with is that if, when, and after we sit down together and we outline what our goals are for you or for your child over a 3 or a 6 or a 9 month period, and only if, when, and after you see those objectives realized and fulfilled, you see their character improving, their discipline enhancing, their body developing, their confidence expanding, their self-esteem really taking hold, their actions improving, their whatever, Rob. Then and only then do we expect you to refer to us at least 2 equal quality adults or children who have similar or related in needs in their life. And the needs could be, and then you paint the picture of what the referral looks like. That's one approach. I have seen businesses increase as much as 20 times by making that a condition of doing business. And the way that you embrace it, if you think it's fearful, is this. Everyone on this call, I know, because you're athletes, you're entrenched in your profession and in your commitment to society and to humanity and to goodness, you probably all have relationships that are very important to you. Friends, if you would. Right, Rob?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
And if you had a good, dear friend, you probably do 2 things that you don't do as a martial arts school owner. Number one, you care deeply about the totality of their lives. In other words, let's say that not just the martial arts, let's say that you as a martial arts school owner, while you're masterful at martial arts, let's say you also knew a lot about buying used cars. And let's say you had a friend who had a daughter or a mother or a son an employer or an employee who needed to buy a good used car. Well, wouldn't you feel like you'd want to help that person who was important to your friend not make a mistake, get a car that'd be great, not waste money, not get taken advantage of? You would, wouldn't you?
You want to take care of the people you love and care about.
So you would make a concerted offer and you'd say, Rob, you know, anytime you have anyone in your life who needs help, you know, figuring out how to buy or how to choose or how to know whether a used car is worth, have them call me. I'll talk them through it. I'll even go and look at the car. I'll put them in touch with my... You do that because it was the right thing to do. Yet, most people in martial arts, from my observation, don't realize you have a moral obligation and a responsibility to help all your students and their parents help everyone else in their lives whose lives could be enhanced at any of those 5 or 6 areas, but left to their own devices, they can't be expected to do it. So what you've got to do is, from the beginning, is set the stage for the fact that you are a referral-generating business, but the reason why is that you know that there are a lot of people in your student or the parents' lives whose lives could be dramatically impacted by the power and the effect and the impact that martial arts or your form of martial arts can have. But the first thing is for them to see the transformation in their son or daughter, in themselves, or in their wife, or in their husband. And then you've got to become masterful, Rob, at what's called future pacing. And future pacing is very simple. It's taking the parent or the student on a journey into the future and showing them what it's going to be like when they've been at class for 3 or 6 months, when they get up in the morning with more excitement, when they make their bed and they can't wait to come down and they can't wait to have completed their homework and they can't wait to participate in class and they're raising their hand and they got self-confidence and they're not afraid to walk home and they're not starting a fight, but people can sense this confidence. And when they're taking their body serious and we're taking their their roles as a child serious, and they're taking their opportunity to learn in school serious, and you're taking them forward to what it's going to be like, and then you compare it to what the situation is now, and you have the parent or the student tell you. And then you tie that into this referral. This is just one referral generating system, and that is to have basically a contract that we are a referral-based business. The reason why is that we are here to make a difference in the world, in our community, to make people's lives better, to make children more confident, more self-esteem, healthier, better athletes, no matter what sports they play, to interact better with fellow, I mean, it'd be better employers, students, husbands, wives, friends, and we want to do it not just for them, but for everyone else in your life and their life that can benefit from it too. And the way we do it is by first and foremost producing a tangible, measurable, you know, visible effect on you or your child. And then as we do it, we know that you're going to want to help other people in life that you're close and important to you get a similar outcome. And we program them to do this, Rob. That's the first one.
Number two
is we program them from the beginning that we basically are committed to you, your family, and everyone in your life that's important. And that we program them from the beginning that at very key intervals, we open the school, we extend ourselves to people that you want to bring, that you want to refer, and we do it in three or four ways, and we tell them from the beginning, and we start programming them. And we program them from the beginning to be receptive and to be enthusiastic about the promotions we do later. We don't just do them after the fact. We condition them. The next thing, and this is speaking of programming, it's not referral, but we program them from the beginning for forever. We don't just try to get them into an introductory. We tell them that what we have found is that martial arts can and should be a way of life, and it will evolve. And in the beginning, what we want to do is get you a great foundation. We want to show you some results, and then we want to move you up to where you'll take it so serious that you'll see the difference it makes either in your body, your character, your, you know, self-esteem, that you're going to want to take it higher, because when you take it higher, it has, and we correlate it to the result. And we talk to them about all the people that have been doing it all their lives, and we translate that to greater achievement, greater confidence, greater healthfulness, and we program them from the beginning, the long term, and we say that what we are going to do is throughout the process help you look back and appreciate and evaluate how much you've grown and set higher standards and examine and evaluate different aspects of your life or your body that we're going to work on, because we are here to be with you and your family and your child and your loved ones for life. We are going to be your teachers, your guides, your instructors for life, and it's a mindset, Rob. Does that make sense?
It really does. Now that's two really good referral systems, Jay. Can you give us a third one?
Yes, I can. You. This is going to be. It's a very interesting, subtle referral generating system. You use daily experiences and activities as the basis for talking about referrals to parents and students. In other words, let's say today I got two referrals. One was the overweight coworker of the parent of one of the students, okay? And the other was the best friend, all right? Let's say also I got a father that brought their student in, their child in, because he wanted to work on their discipline in anticipation of baseball. All right?
Got it.
So I am seeing parents every day or every whatever frequency they come, right?
Every day.
I would turn that day's event into discussion that painted a picture. I would say to the parents hanging there, anyhow, you know, today was an interesting day. I just realized that we probably never talked to you about the fact that a lot of people come here because they want to, and I talk about the events in context of the fact, almost self-effacing. That means embarrassed. Like, Rob, you know, I probably never talked to you about the fact that a lot of the parents of of children refer coworkers to us after they see their child. And even though their child came here for self-esteem, they've seen other people come here and watched as they lose 10 or 15 pounds or as they get, firm and tight, and they've told other people they work with or their neighbors. And I want you to know that anybody in your life, coworker, neighbor, church member, what I'm doing is designing and directing them to where that person may live, but I'm not doing it real rigidly and awkwardly, that you know of that might have the need, the desire, the readiness, or the interest, you should encourage them to come as your guest. And here, let me give you a couple of passes in the call, and they just call and just tell them that you invited them, and they'll be treated like family. And you set the stage by tying whatever happened into a discussion with the parents. Does that make sense?
Yes, and it's a very clever approach. Do you have anything, Jay, that's real direct and just so simple for instructors to do? Something like calling a student and asking for a referral or handing out a referral pass for them to fill out. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, see, what you're asking of me is something I never let anybody do. You're looking for a single activity. As I said, I believe in a power parthenon. I believe in creating not 93, but maybe 5 or 6. I believe that you do all of them and you do them at different intervals. In other words, every Friday, I would, at the end, give every parent and every student a pass, and I might have it be time dated so that we have a more immediacy of action. And again, I'm going to get into testing either later today or tomorrow. But I would say next week is bring a friend week, and here for this week only you can bring another friend, and I would have it timed it, and I would basically present it to the child, and then I would re-present it to the parent, and I would never be afraid or awkward or timid or tacit or wimpy about it. I would be so proud of it. My cell phone's ringing. I apologize, but it's far enough away. It'll go off in a minute, and I would be very powerful about it in the way that I presented it. I wouldn't give it as if it's not valuable. If you don't revere what you're doing, you can't expect anybody else. I'll give you another referral process, and it's very powerful. We have actually grown businesses by as much as 20 times by having full-time staff that went out to key organizations, influences, and businesses in the community that had the right audience and given out and I call this referral, given out certificates, but with authority and respect. For giving an example, we had a restaurant, very quality restaurant that opened in the community, and they knew that the key to all their business was going to be referral. So the owner hired 3 quote-unquote assistant managers. Their full-time job was to go throughout the community to call on business heads, lawyers, doctors, people who they knew had influence, and gift to them certificates for lunch for 2 at the restaurant, no charge. And they didn't just give it to them. There was a script. You got to realize, positioning is everything. If I say, "Hey, Rob, here's 25 certificates for a free lesson,"
they're worthless.
That's something that probably either gets not used, minimally used, thrown away. But if I say, "Rob, I'd like to buy you $25 worth of training for you to give to anyone in your life, in your neighborhood, at your job, in your child's school that you think it would make a difference on," and then I describe what it is. But if you go to key influences, what I would do, I'm jumping around. I apologize for doing that. But I'm going to go back to the question you asked me earlier, and then I'll tie it to referrals.
Okay.
And then I want to go back to the next source of what I would do if I was building out your marketing before I'd let you spend any money in the outside market.
Okay.
I would ask, who has already got a trusted relationship with the prospective target audience you want to reach? That's the parents and the students. And I would go 2 ways. I would go institutional, community. I would go commercial, business. And the first thing I would do is I would look at all the other people who reach students. I'd look at organized sports. I would look at social activities. I would look at entertainment. And I would go to all of them, and I would work out an arrangement, but I wouldn't just, I mean, if a box sitting late meal that says, enter for a free lesson or something like that works, imagine how many times better it would work if there was a strategy behind it and there was a positioning behind it and it was revered. In other words, if there was somebody, we've done this a lot of times, if there was somebody at a theater or at a bicycle shop or at a baseball park, and they were not just giving it out, but they were saying, you know, we found that I'll use the baseball. We found that that children that come for even two or three lessons have an improvement in their fielding, in their ability, in their focus, in their hitting. We'd like to contribute to the baseball league, so we are offering to buy every student that wants to two sessions over there. Now, I'm just telling you how you can generate lots of referrals.
Beautiful, beautiful.
I can go on and on, and I will. And by the time, what I will do, Rob, because there's a lot of ground I want to cover. I didn't promise this, but what I'm going to do is post after the third call a bunch of things that I can do on this call, but they would eat up so much time. In other words, I'm going to post the 93 different ways that people can generate referrals so that they can have a model of reference.
Thank you.
I'd rather
do
that than talk about 10 of them now and use all the rest of our time.
Thank you so much, Jay. That's very gracious of you.
I'm going to post the formula for crafting a powerful ad and the formula for making your headlines pull 20 or 30 times, only because I can do it on this call, but it'll eat up all the call.
Exactly. We're on very limited time. I mean, you've got a vault of knowledge in your head, and we only have three 90-minute phone calls.